Are you a school leader striving for excellence? Do you crave actionable strategies and fresh perspectives to navigate the challenges of education today? Get ready to take charge. This is Control Shift Lead, giving you something to control, something to shift your thinking, and something concrete to help you lead your school. With Jim Wichman of Inspired Edification and Adam Bush of AWB Education. Your journey to empowered leadership starts now.
Welcome back to Control Shift Lead, the podcast for educators who are ready to make an impact and maybe even level up. I'm Jim Wichman. I'm here as always with my co-host, Adam Bush. Adam, I saw what you did there in the opening. I like it.
I mean, might as well just be honest with it right there, Jim. That's awesome. How are you?
Good. Alive and well in beautiful West Virginia, the middle of West Virginia. See a lot of deer. I'm looking out my window. I see three right now. I wouldn't see them with a computer there. Hey, Adam, awesome. I got to tell you, we got a fantastic, I'm really excited about this because it's not only one of our really first guests, it's one of our good friends here, Scott Jarvis. Fantastic episode lined up. As we all know, every month we bring you three things, something we can control, something we can shift your thinking, and something to help us lead. This week, we're honored to have, like I said, our good friend, special guest, who embodies all three of those. He's not only an expert in athletic administration, he's the current executive director of Iowa High School Athletic Directors Association, a leadership consultant, and a fantastic author and guest speaker. The dude might rival my energy, that's for sure. Please join us in welcoming our friend, Scott Jarvis. Thanks, Scott, thanks so much for being on the show today.
I appreciate you both. And I will say this, being able to work with both of you when we spent some time at Ankeny together, when you reached out, I was like, this is going to be really fun.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this for a while.
It'll be something for sure. Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Scott, what have you been doing lately here? I know it's been a little while since we've run into each other. What's the Scott Jarvis tour look like?
It's been absolutely insane. I've traveled all over the country and even now the world. I've had opportunities to speak in Central America.
Nice.
But speaking all over the country, it's been so fun, as you both know. I mean, we learn so much through this journey we go through in education. And for me, education-based athletics and why that is so important. Mm-hmm. But so many times, and I've heard this over and over again, I was talking to Dr. Baggers from Florida State University. And he was saying this, in the business world, there are so many resources and tools available for leaders, whether it's coaching, whether it's, you know, mental health training, whether it's leadership training. It's everywhere. It's prevalent. In education, there's so little. So the work, Adam, and Jim, that you're both doing is so important to schools. And I've been blessed to now go and, you know, speak across the country and even around the world. And it just always blows me away, the people that are out in education and the great work that they do every day. And just the great need there is out there for more and more training and leadership development for these people that are out in school. So I appreciate what you both do because it is so important to our educational foundation and our education system in general.
Yeah, wow, there's a lot of passion there.
Wow, for passion. I love it.
Yeah, I got to tell you that when I was growing up, one of the things I always wanted to be was an athletic director. And then when I learned what the job was, I might have slid that aside and I thought middle school is where it's at. What's been like the most rewarding thing at being an athletic director when you were, I know you've been in a couple different places, but what's been as an athletic director title, what was like your most rewarding vibe or experience?
I mean, honestly, it was the opportunity just to meet a bunch of amazing students, coaches, teachers. You know, through this crazy world of education, I've gotten to meet, you know, Adam, I got to work with you and Jim got to work with you. I mean, meet so many incredible people. So for me and my, you know, journey in educational leadership, it's been about the people, the things I've learned. I just asked this question in my podcast to a coach. I go, talk to me about a time when a kid made you change the way you think about how you coach. And we could say the same for education as a teacher. There was one kid that made you think about how I was going to teach differently or how I'm going to coach differently because you learned something from that kid. I was probably that kid in school that the teacher and coach are like, rather slap me across the face and teacher coach me. But yeah. But guess what? Despite that, they saw something in me that I did not see myself, and they continued to work and chip away at the marble block, or it might have been just the cheapest stone you could find, but they helped mold me into, you know, I tell people all the time, if it wasn't for my high school football coach, I would never be sitting here talking to both you on this podcast.
Yeah.
They had such an incredible impact on me. And for me, my passion, my purpose is like, can I help kids? Can I help coaches create experiences, be moment makers for kids, for communities, for schools that makes it a better experience for each individual kid? So if I can just have a small piece of that in anybody I've had the chance to work with, or any kids I've had to, you know, the opportunity to try to impact, or coaches, then I can go to bed thinking like, okay, I did something positive and good today.
Adam, we got our phrase already today. I usually grab a phrase what Adam says. So I think you just trumped Adam for it.
I think you beat me. I know. No kidding. I got to step up my game here. I got to get rolling.
Moment maker. Think about what that is. The people you talked about, they saw potential in you.
Yeah.
And I think about when teachers or coaches come in, it isn't about anything more than the potential and seeing it in them. Instead of trying to be the world's greatest at that moment, see the potential. And you created this, you stated moment maker. I'm writing that into our phrase books. It's teacher worthy, a t-shirt worthy, I mean.
Yes. And I don't, like, for as a coach, coaches, teachers, same. And to me, it's the same thing. And if you go look up the original definition of a coach, it's a vehicle or a vessel that takes somebody of importance from where they are to where they need to go.
Love it.
And so as a teacher and a coach, that's what we do with our kids. We provide them safe passage to the destination maybe they want to reach. But as educators, as teachers, as coaches, administrators, we might bring them on a crazy journey that brings them far beyond what they ever thought they could accomplish. So that is what's so exciting. And for me, fills my bucket is the opportunity that we have as educators to bring kids where they want to go, or maybe even further they thought they could ever go.
Nice. I love that.
Well, I tell you what, Scott, I am really looking forward to what we're going to get from you here as we talk about our three things. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, folks, and we'll be right back. We're going to get into that control portion, and we're going to see what Scott's got for us on what we control, what we can control in our world every day. So hang on here for just a second. All right. Welcome back to Control Shift Lead. We're here with our special guest, Scott Jarvis. Scott, we've been talking about the things that are always within our power to change. And that's what this first segment is about, what we can control. As an athletic director, as a leader, as a teacher, as an, you name it, educator, I know you've had to navigate some pretty tough situations. What are some things that you've learned that educators can control no matter what's happening around them?
Yeah, I think I was asked this question a few years ago at the National Athletic Director Conference. And they said, it was a simple question, but it kind of caught me off guard, and I thank God for editing. They just asked me, how are you intentional as a leader? And I was like, that is a great question. And I paused for a minute. And as I thought about it, it was being intentional with my time. So many times in education, we let so many things control our time. So how can we go and then take that time back? And I say this all the time. It is so easy in education to get bogged down with all the management garbage and all this stuff. And don't get me wrong, it is so important, all that management stuff, but it's not why we got into education. We got into education for kids, to make them better, to provide them, again, moments, to give them great experiences. And so I had a great mentor in Chuck Van Heck. And if anybody's from the eastern part of Iowa, Chuck Van Eck is a mainstay in Muscatine. Like, you can't say that the town Muscatine without mentioning his name, because he was so influential in so many people's lives. And I learned so much from him in just a short amount of time. And I remember sitting in my office, pounding away on my computer, trying to find workers, trying to find officials, trying to get buses lined up. And he goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I got to get this done. I got to get that done." He goes, "You need to be out spending time with kids and coaches, going to practices, evaluating, seeing how kids are doing. You know, are good things happening? Find good things happening. Catch coaches doing great stuff. You need to get your butt behind the desk and go out and lead from in front. Go be present." Mm-hmm. And that, I did not know even at the time how important that advice was, that just little piece, because time is so valuable. It's probably the most valuable commodity we own. So I encourage educators, ADs, coaches, make sure that I tried to put everything on my calendar. I mean, and I know that we get bogged down and it doesn't always happen, but I take time. Hey, I'm going to put together 30 minutes right here because I'm going to work on my coach's professional development for the week. Or I got an hour blocked off. Now, something might pop up. I get a phone call. You know how it goes. Something happens. A kid does something in the lunchroom and you got to go take care of a discipline issue, whatever that might be. But I have it on my calendar and I'm going to come back to it. You know, obviously family is so important. I put all my kids' events on my calendar because I felt like my calendar was owning me instead of me owning my calendar. And I'll tell you, it's helped me control what I can control in education. It's hard to even do that sometimes. Like sometimes I have a hard time getting in my brain, like all the things that we have to do in education that just seem like madness in the business world. They're like, what? But we do it though. We find a way to do it. So for me, it has been, how do I control my time? Cause that is where I can make impact. That is where, you know, time builds trust, time builds relationships, time follow through, develop that trust. So many things. I love this quote. And it's Arthur Ashe. I'm probably dating myself here. Famous tennis, you know, icon.
Yeah.
He said, "Trust can only be developed over the passage of time." And I think about that all the time, because it is so important.
You know, you're mentioning the calendar thing there, Scott. I was gonna, you know, as you brought that up, it made sense to me. I had somebody years ago. I was doing the old, you know, two calendars. I had my personal calendar, school calendar, all this other stuff, right? And they said, "Why are you doing that?" And I said, "Well, you know, keep work and life separate." He goes, "Why? You can't keep your work and life and your home life separate. It doesn't work that way." I said, "No, just put it on your calendar, make it a different color, or whatever else your brain needs to do, so you know the difference between them. But they are the same. You can't steal from either. You shouldn't steal from your home life or your work. Just put it together so you can see it." I think that's a great idea.
There's a I don't know if either of you heard it, Rod Olson. He wrote this book called The Legacy, and he talks about, you know, trying to be this person at school, this person at home, this person with your friends. You kind of start to have this identity crisis. You just need to be the same person everywhere you are. And that's really hard too.
You know, what I'm grabbing from this more than anything else is the being true, being real, stop lying to yourself. That's kind of what I'm getting there. Does your calendar own you or did you own the calendar? I'm going to sit with that one for a while because I used to let my calendar own me because I thought it was easier. And then like, you know, Adam's tips of the different colors. I actually had Amy Northway, a counselor I worked with one time. She kind of helped me see and do some of that stuff. And then what I think is the biggest, the Arthur Ashe, but bless your heart if you don't think that we're the same age or older. But
for your listeners, Jim. Just
okay. All right. Okay. But the part about this is really about perspective, but it's about being present. You said go be present at practice and everything. And then when you're present at practice, be present at practice. So you're not getting your phone out. You're not, you know, texting your emails during there. A principal say to me today that she doesn't, the other thing she does, she never answers email from her phone. So it's just like, it's a step. It's not the end all game, but it's a step. And I really like that. Just kind of summarizing everything you said, it comes down to time is precious. So treat it as such and make the important things important. And people are those important things. So be present with them. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's good. And we're back with Scott Jarvis, our guest today on Control Shift Lead. Before the break, we talked about what we can control in our professional lives. And Scott was really kind of leading us into that, the time and making it, being intentional with how we utilize every minute. Now we're going to lean into and get his thoughts on how do we shift our thinking. Sometimes all it takes is a change of perspective to unlock a new solution or approach. And Scott, you kind of mentioned like the one of your mentors asked a question, and that question was kind of like help shift your thinking. So what's a core belief or a piece of advice you'd have to shift your own thinking that maybe you've had, or something that we can, you know, that might challenge us to shift our thinking?
Yeah, I think for me, that shift is that the challenge or that belief that as educational leaders, as principals, as athletic directors, as coaches, we're the only people that lead. And I think for me, I had to reframe that from even for myself many times, maybe still to this day a little bit. But every coach, every teacher, every student athlete, every student is a leader in some sort of capacity.
So right. So right.
And here's what I'll say with that. And Adam and Jim, you guys have both been on teams. And I think it is so important. And I just talked about this earlier today in another podcast I was on. It is so important that people see value in themselves with whatever organization, whatever group they're affiliated with, that sense of belonging is so important. And so for them to feel like they lead, that they have ownership within whatever organization that might be, that could be business, that could be school, that could be a team, that could be a classroom. I think that is what really separates the great leaders from those who are just doing a good job, have their curriculum in place, have good lesson plans. But I think what really separates the great coaches, the great teachers, the great administrators is that ability for us to be able to see value and see leadership potential in every single person. And that might be as simple as, hey, you know what? On the team, you might be the cheerleader. Hey, you might be the person who is the quiet leader, but they're always going to set the good example. You might be the person that is going to pick up after every single practice. You don't care if you're the senior or you're the star athlete. You're going to make sure things are organized and picked up. And it takes everybody. It takes all those different people to create a great culture. And I think that sometimes we forget that as leaders. Like, we're not just about leading people. We're about creating more leaders.
Building capacity is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, we're building capacity.
We're seeing the potential. We're building capacity. And I'm going to go back to something you started with. And I heard Adam grab it as well. Everyone is a leader, and we have to allow them to lead. So sometimes it's not necessarily following. It might be, but we have to allow them to lead. And I think I didn't really think of it as when we allow people to lead, that we're growing that sense of ownership. But I think back to when I was at Prairie Ridge Middle School. I mean, we're at middle school. What do middle schools want more than anything else? They want to belong. Look at the country right now. They want to belong. We just want to belong. And by being intentional with this, building capacity so everybody's a leader, they could see what's all encompassing. Dang, that's a good one.
I think, too, you're talking about like those little acts, right? And I might be wrong, but I believe it was Jamal Shedd, former Houston basketball player. There was a video that went viral of him after some game. Something had been bad, like the refs are right, awful, right? And there's garbage all over the place. And here's this top NBA draft pick, could easily be a prima donna athlete, right? What's he doing? Grabs a garbage can and he's picking up the garbage. I mean, he didn't have to do any of that. But then all of a sudden, then a teammate joins him and another teammate joins him. How do you not want to follow somebody that's willing to do that type of stuff too? Those little things do matter, Scott. You're exactly right.
And I think too, and it's as leaders, it's important to us to recognize that leadership skill that person might have, and to make sure that we recognize that and then we try to cultivate that. I think that's the other piece to that change and that shift. Like, I'm going to lead, but it is also important that I'm a good follower too. Not just that I lead, but I can follow too, because when we build, Jim, as you said, when we build capacity in others, we have to have the ability then to follow them and to be like, that is a great idea. I want you to run with that. And so many times in leadership, we feel like we take it all on. We got to drive the ship all the time. It's okay to let other people drive the ship at times.
actually would go back to what you said earlier with the control and the time and the minutes. Sometimes when other people are driving the ship, we get time for this other thing called family or just taking care of ourselves. Yeah, I appreciate that. So building that everybody's a leader, seeing the potential and then allowing that to grow, the little actions make a difference, and then building the capacity and being intentional about it. I mean, that's what comes across with everything you're saying, Scott, over and over again, is you got to be intentional. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's not accidental. See that value and do something with it. Yeah.
And I think that one other thing too, if to cultivate that leadership, and I tell people all the time, two best things I ever did as an AD was I started professional development with my coaching staff beyond the X's and O's. And we started that student leadership council or any kind of student leadership group that I had time to spend with the kids to develop trust, to build relationships so that when there are issues, there are problems, there's already that relationship built. So I tell anybody, like, again, as an AD, as an educator, I missed that time in front of the kids teaching, coaching. I had to get back to that because I was missing that. I had a great guest on my podcast. His name was Bruce Babichon. And he has this concept of the dangerous drift. The further we get away from our purpose or why, the less fulfilled we feel. And so I think about that a lot now. And I tell everybody on my podcast, I go, this is my weekly therapy session because I learn and grow from every single person I get the chance to listen and learn from. So you talk about that intentionality, Jim. And again, so important in educational leadership that we provide those opportunities for others to lead, but then also give them the learning and the growth opportunities to get where they need to go.
Well, and I'm going to add something to that too, Scott, because I always gave you credit for this because I thought this was taking a big risk at the time. And now that I hear you talking, I just realize that was just your purpose. That was your why, and it was what was needed. When you first came to the school you and I worked at, I mean, you walked into a job where you had some coaches that had been there a long time. One of them's got most wins in the state of Iowa in football. And you have another girls basketball coach that will be in the Hall of Fame as soon as that next round comes. You know, I mean, you had some amazing, amazing coaches, but they still wanted and needed PD. They still wanted to grow. And yeah, it takes a true leader to still do that, not just think that, that's good enough, I don't need to worry about it. No, those people need that too. And that was something I always thought for the work that you did was really impressive to actually go in and understand that that was necessary still.
And I would tell you that those coaches, and I can't remember, I read an article not too long ago, like 83% of people want feedback. They want you in their classroom, giving them feedback, telling them what they can do better. Not that you need to like know everything, because you're just getting a snapshot. Whenever you go do a class evaluation, or if I go to a practice and evaluate, I always tell my coach, hey, this was a snapshot of what I saw in this moment. Can we learn and grow from that? Can we get feedback from students on their perceptions? And can we change perception by just being a little bit more intentional on how we present something or what we're sharing? And we talk about being vulnerable as a leader, being transparent as a leader, all those things make a difference. So although sometimes it's hard because, you know, the last thing teachers and coaches want is more PD. So if you're going to do it, make sure it's really good.
Well, it's actually, it's meaningful, manageable, and tangible. So, you know, it's like, is it what they need or is it what they think they need? And I think the difference there is you're talking about things that the coaches need based upon their input versus what you think they need. And I think that there's a couple of different aspects that I just want to touch on one more thing. I know we got to be mindful of our time, but you also connected with the student athletes at this place that Adam was talking about. And I know that, mate, because my daughter was there as well. And so you weren't just talking with the coaches and the assistant coaches, you were connecting with the students as well. So going back to the shift, you're thinking everybody's a leader, you kind of leaned in on the students too. So I just want to make sure I tip my hat to you on that one as well.
All right, welcome back to Control Shift Lead. We're getting ready for our final segment here with Scott Jarvis. He's talked about controlling our actions, shifting that mindset of controlling your calendar and not letting that control you. Talked about building leaders. And I think we're going to move on to a little bit more of that because we know leadership just isn't a title. It's really about that influence, like you were saying, Scott. So what's that practical strategy or principle that you're going to share with us today that educators can just use in their classrooms or schools to continue to grow and become even a more effective leader themselves?
Yeah, I wrote an article about this a number of years ago now, and it just talks about leading with love. And I think that is so important because, as we all know, if we love something, we are willing to suffer for it. We are willing to go through some adversity. And bear with me, I'm an old history teacher, but passion, we have passion for what we do. That comes from the Latin term pate, which means to suffer. So I think there's something so maybe poetic in the fact that we are willing as educators to suffer, to go through some stuff, to work with kids. So, you know, we're ready to pull our hair out because we love what we do. And I think with that love comes, you know, being vulnerable, being authentic in your leadership, you know, and that means that, and this is hard. I think this is really hard as a coach, as an administrator. It's like, sometimes we got to be like, you know what? I screwed this up. I messed up. Like, yep. And people know it, you know, and I can think of hundreds of times, thousands of times I messed up. And you know what I learned is when I was younger, I was like, I try to be covered up and okay, I can't let anybody know I messed up, you know? And then I was like, you know what? Yeah, come chew me out. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I did screw that up. Or I didn't handle that right. Mm-hmm. And you know, I go back to how do I reflect on what I did good, what I didn't do so well. And again, that all comes back to that love. I guess one of my favorite reminders about leadership comes from Steve Shisicki. He just simply said this. He goes, you must love those who you lead to be an effective leader. You can certainly command without the sense of commitment, that level of trust, but you cannot lead without that love. And without that love, leadership becomes, you know, a hollow experience. It's a vacuum often filled with mistrust, arrogance, all those things that we don't want to build great culture. So I always think about that because it hits home for me, especially in the world of athletics and education. We often mistake authority for leadership. And as a coach, as an athletic director, as a teacher, we can hand out directives all day long. We can, you know, as an AD, you can set a schedule and you can manage all the processes and systems and all that crazy nonsense. But if we don't genuinely love and care for those that we're investing this, and we'll go back to the time, and to the people that we serve, our student athletes, our coaches, our teachers, our colleagues, it's simply just directing, commanding, not actually leading. So for me, it's not about the title. It's not about having, you know, principal or AD or superintendent on the door. It's not about having, as a coach, having the whistle around your neck. It's about creating trust, building relationships, and then just modeling humility, being able to be vulnerable. Because when I feel like when love is the foundation of leadership, we move from just doing what we're supposed to do or just complying to that commitment, that trust, that culture. Because teams don't follow rules. I don't like rules. It's always about standards, but they believe in the vision. They buy in. And that's when culture changes. When championships are built, they're not always trophies. It could be in the lives that are built. It could be in the lives that are transformed. And that's, for me, what that leadership needs to be about.
So what you just did there, for me anyways, I picture this whole episode. You started from talking about Scott Jarvis, the manager, bookkeeper, getting away from that and being present, to coming full circle saying, you got to see the human first. The title second. So in other words, you got to be authentic leadership and be present with people. And yes, the others have to be, we got to keep a perspective about when you got to get some of these things done or not done or whatever the case is. And I think that being able to figure out where that line is with everything goes back to also what you said about everybody needs a coach. Everybody deserves a coach. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking just about athletes, but about leaders. I mean, we have surgeons that have coaches. We talk about this all the time. And really what you've got, compiled in those three is really just that, embodies about being present with people. I appreciate you really highlighting that. And still, I come back to that. I knew that was going to be passionate. whatever that Latin word was again. I'm scared to say it because it sounded, I don't think I should say it, but it really comes down to that. And man, I feel it. I feel it for sure.
Yeah,
that absolutely. Command versus lead piece, that really stuck with me there too. Because you're right. And unfortunately, especially when times get tough, we feel that desire to just command because we want it done versus want it done right. And that really sticks with me. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I love this. There's an old proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together with others.
Yeah, that actually is. Yeah, I get that and speak it. I use that actually quite often.
Yeah, it's, I mean, but it's so true.
It's very true.
It's like, it goes with the, we have so many people that have like these flashy little things. We're going to change reading. We're going to change math. We're going to change how we do things. And it's going to be flashy and it's going to be great. Come a month later, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
The flashy fades out, but the intentionality of something sustains over time. Back one last time with Scott Jarvis on Control Shift Lead. I said it before, I'll say it again, man. What an episode. I knew it was going to be like this, though. We covered so much great ground. It's kind of like, how do you take all that and put it all in pieces? What do you think, Dr. Adam? You got some help with this over there?
Yeah. So what I got from this one is three big things, and these are really good things. Number one, do not let your calendar control you. That's the biggest piece we can control. That calendar, of course, it's hard to get away from the calendar in this world, but don't let it control you. You are going to control your calendar. In the shift piece, everyone is a leader. We may just need to see that potential, may need to see that value, but everyone is a leader and we need everybody to be a leader. So help build those skills, help develop those skills. And the last one, and I think maybe the most important one, Scott, lead with love. I really like the way you say that. Too often we get caught up in the world and just forget that we're all a bunch of humans. You know, we really are. At the end of the day, we're all a bunch of human beings. Let's treat each other like human beings and lead with love. Those are my three big things from today.
Yeah, definitely. I like how they kind of come together and just kind of really kind of shape us up a little bit to who we are. And I also like that you talked about, I want to go back to that moment makers. It's important to be those little things make a difference with that. Hey, Scott, what do you got coming up here for us? What's in your next, what's going on the next month or two?
I got a crazy month coming up. I actually have our Iowa High School Athletic Directors Executive Board meeting tomorrow. I've served the NIAAA, which is the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association, for many years. And I was recently named the chair of the Quality Program Assessment, which I just simply put, it's a strategic plan process for athletic directors that they can use within their department. So I'm actually meeting with our committee on Friday coming up, and we're talking about how we can make that process even better, have the opportunity to do some growth and strategic planning with some schools. And then I'm heading out to New Jersey to a conference to speak to a group of athletic directors. And as always, I'm speaking at the University of Iowa that next week. Go Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I won't hold that against you. I mean, I do know who won a week ago, but that's okay. I mean, that's fine if we want to go down that route. But
And then we hit all of our state association, Iowa High School Athletic Association, Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union, all of our district AD meetings across the state. So it will be a busy month as we head into October, but yeah, super excited. Right. And then December, I'll be heading out to the National Athletic Director Conference, which I always love.
So you are taking time and balancing that with your family too, because you have some kids still in school. You got a kid at University of Iowa. So you've got a lot of knowledge there, and which what I think is even more important is you're connected to people who have a lot of knowledge as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do people reach out to you? How do they get to know you? I mean, how do you get to learn from you, connect with you?
So I'm very active on LinkedIn, so you can definitely find me on LinkedIn. You can go to my website, ScottJarvisConsulting.com, or you can email me at scott.jarvisconsulting@gmail.com. I love helping anybody. So if there's anything I can do for anybody to help them get better at what they do, I am willing to share resources, tools, because I was been afforded that opportunity I've learned from so many amazing people throughout my career. I'm always willing to share. So if anybody needs anything, please reach out.
You said before, everyone's a coach, everyone's a teacher. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's good.
We'll make sure for our listeners, we'll make sure that information is on there too, just because it's an easy reach out. And I know, Scott, I mean, I text you and you've already replied back to me before I push send. So it's like, yeah. Well, awesome, everyone. I appreciate it. And that's kind of a wrap of our episode here, a Control Shift Lead. Adam, thanks for another great conversation. And what do you got going on, Adam? I know you're kind of in your doctorate program. What else you got going on?
Yeah, busy in classes, trying to get that all wrapped up. And just, you know, got homecoming this week here for my daughter and also at my school. So that's a lot of fun. And as a former head football coach, I'm like, yeah, the best part about homecoming is when it's over.
Yeah.
That's right. So kind of brings back some of those memories.
Think of I get it. Different perspective when you were a kid to an adult. I get all that.
Couldn't stand that week. Like, just get through it.
But man, that's what our memories are. There, I'll tell you what, those are moment makers right there, that whole week. Absolutely. A lot of moments, like, for sure.
Yeah. How about you, Jim?
Well, I'm in West Virginia. I love this place. It's one of the most beautiful states. I'll be in Nebraska, Virginia, coaching with people. I'm speaking in Indiana later on this week and to educators. And then, I'm going to sneak away with some friends and my wife to Florida.
Cool.
For a little golf vacation. So people say, oh, you like golf. I'm like, no, I like it, but I'm not good at it, but I like it.
So is that a warning to the people living around the golf course, right?
I have done that in Bettendorf. I've introduced my golf ball to a couple of people before. Yes.
That's funny. I had a sales guy a few years ago give me a golf ball, and it had his name and it had his phone number on the golf ball. I'm like, oh, is that so people can give you your golf ball back? He goes, no, that's my advertising. I figure other people are going to find these things. That way they know to give me a call. Like, that's genius. That's
brilliant. Brilliant. I love that. I love that. Well, and to all our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Like Adam and I said, and Scott reiterated it, hey, reach out to us if you want to drop something in our mailbag. Feel free to do so. We've always respond. We won't wait till we don't necessarily have to wait till our next episode to respond, but I promise you we're going to respond. We'll see you next week, next month, actually.
Next month. Thanks again, Scott. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Control Shift Lead, brought to you by Inspired Edification and AWB Education. We're glad you joined us for today's discussion on empowering school leadership. To dive deeper and explore more of Jim and Adam's work, find us at www.awbeducation.org. Thanks for listening. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.